complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord for him to speak through his holy word to us. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the last clause of the chapter we read in John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 28. Verse 28, the last clause of it. The Master is come and calleth for thee. The Master is come and calleth for thee. The last clause of this 28th verse of this 11th chapter of John's Gospel. Dear friends, I've just been struck by the hymn we've just sung. The first verse was a question. You've sung it. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. Oh, dear friends, was there a soul here this afternoon who poured out their heart in that first verse? Then may our text be the answer to you. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Or may there be some application, dear friends, of his holy and sacred word as we gather together here week by week and in the week. The sound of his voice. We had this morning, didn't we, concerning Christ's call. He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful time it would be if each of us came to know that blessing of his pardoning love, drawn to his feet, pouring out our heart before him and hearing his sweet response. I love thee well, my child. Dear friends, these are the things which we desire the Lord may bless us with in our daily lives and as we come to a place of worship. The Master is come and calleth for thee. These words are specifically in the context spoken to Mary. And dear friends, it may be that the case of Mary may apply to one or even more of you here this afternoon. Mary was one who believed in Jesus. And so may you be. Mary knew what it was, as we read in Luke's Gospel, when we first read of this dear lady, or dear young woman, I presume she was. When her sister Martha entertained Jesus and his disciples, inviting them to her house in Bethany. And as Martha served and was cumbered about with much serving, she complained that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, hearkening to his voice. And Jesus had to rebuke Martha, saying, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, dear friends, has there been a time in your life when perhaps you've come to the house of God and the ministry of the word of God has been made special to you? It's drawn you away from all the other aspects of your life, your duties, your responsibilities, the things that take place from a Monday to a Saturday. And that word is of Jesus and of his mercy and grace has had an effect upon your heart. And it's caused you to believe in him. And you have that measure of love for him. And have that knowledge of his love for you. And you cannot question it, you cannot doubt it. You haven't forgotten it. It's remained with you. It may have happened more than once. But you don't feel to have received the fullness of the blessing. Well, the next time we read of Mary is here, in this chapter 11 of John's Gospel. Perhaps many days had passed since Jesus last came to Bethany. Excuse me. And now Mary has come with Martha, her sister, into a time of trouble. Lazarus, their brother, was sick. Now Mary and Martha, they knew that Jesus could heal the sicknesses. There was many evidences of it. And now they needed it. They needed it himself. For themselves. They needed Christ to come and command healing of Lazarus. Now Jesus had gone to the far side of River Jordan. He'd left Jerusalem and the area of Bethany. He'd gone through the wilderness, which goes down towards Jericho, and gone on over to the other side of Jordan, where John had baptized. But they sent unto him. They knew where to find him. And they put, and their petition was laid before Jesus. I suppose naturally would say, well, Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, Martha. He would immediately return to heal him. But he didn't. He stayed there a further 2 days. Dear friends, we cannot, with our own minds, work out the ways of God and the purposes he has. Our times are always ready, aren't they, for the Lord to hear and answer our prayers in the time of need. And so was Mary, her prayers with Martha. Lord, he that thou lovest is sick. They would have expected him to come straight away. But dear friends, in all things concerning the Lord with his people, there's a divine purpose in everything. And the Lord's divine purpose here was that God would be glorified in the hearts of many, even his disciples. After 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples he would return back to Judea, and they questioned the wisdom of that because the Jews had sought to stone him. But he said he would go to wake Lazarus from sleep. And of course, they understood that Lazarus was doing well in his sickness. If he's asleep, he does well. But Jesus spoke of his death. Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Had not Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby? But Lazarus is dead. Dear friends, as many things we read in Scripture and what come to pass in our earthly life, that we cannot fully comprehend. Therefore it's by faith, isn't it? By faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God the Father that we lean upon him and trust that all things shall work together for good. Well, this was the case with Mary and with Martha. But our text specifically refers to Mary. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Jesus returned, first speaking to Martha, and assuring Martha, who said, "If thou hadst been here, our brother had not died." Jesus says, "Thy brother shall rise again." And she could hardly believe that. You know, dear friends, when we need something of the Lord, which is impossible, we would say, by our nature and by our finite understanding, we can't say we 100% trust, can we? We haven't got the exercise of 100% of faith. Oh, Martha believed in Jesus. "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day," but she didn't expect to see him again upon this earth. Her faith was not extended to, "With God all things are possible." With Christ, the Son of God, in the presence here upon this earth, all things possible. And when Jesus had spoken to her, Martha speaks and sends to Mary. She went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Dear friends, there was a divine purpose, wasn't there, in that calling for Mary? She was to come again to his feet. She was to come again to hear his words. She was to come again to pour out her heart before him. She was to come again to receive the blessing, a great blessing. You know, friends, that's the case when the Master calls, when the Lord calls a poor, saddened, a grievous soul to himself. It's for their good. It's not for their judgment. Oh, she came with the same manner of unbelief as Martha. "If thou hadst been here, our brother had not died." Oh, they believed that Jesus could heal sicknesses. They could perhaps believe that Jesus could even raise the dead, as he had done with Jairus' daughter, as he had done with that son of a widow coming out on a bier from the village of Nain. But, dear friends, they were not buried. Here was a case with Lazarus, who was dead and had laid in the grave for 4 days. It was now impossible. Oh, you see, dear friends, how easy it is to limit our faith. Even though we believe in Jesus, even as Mary did. Even though we say the Lord is able to do all things, there are still those things we doubt. Even though he can do all things exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Oh, we need that prayer, don't we? Lord, increase our faith. Now with Mary, when she heard this, "The Master is come and calleth for thee," she came. She didn't linger any more. Martha had gone forth when she heard that Jesus was coming. Perhaps Mary had as well. But oh, her sadness and her sorrow was too great. Why had he not come before? Why had he not come to heal their brother before he was died and laid in the grave? But now, dear friends, there was the call. "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Dear friends, this wasn't the direct word of Jesus himself, was it? It was Martha, the messenger. And you know, dear friends, the call to you from the Lord maybe via a messenger. We read, don't we, in the scripture of the Lord's messengers in his message, those who he have sent to preach the gospel. Oh, may the Lord use those words of those whom he hath sent to preach the gospel. And may they be words in power, in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. May this be such a word here for someone who needs it this afternoon. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Who is the Master? He's the Saviour of sinners, Jesus Christ. He calls to repentance. He calls to blessing. He calls to put away your sins. He calls for you to trust in him, the author and finisher of your faith. If we stay away, we die. Oh, it's a most solemn thing, isn't it? That's a truth, isn't it? Oh, we think of those words again in Isaiah. I quoted them this morning. Come unto me. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall die by the sword. Now that sword is not a physical sword to pierce you physically. That sword is the word of God. That sword is the word that, oh, that power and the truth as it is in Jesus, has had no gracious effect upon you. And therefore you are still dead in your sins. The Master is come and calleth for you. Come, let us reason together. Oh, dear friends, let us take heed to these things in his holy word. Well, Mary came to Jesus. And dear friends, it was not without her profit. She came and said, as we said with Martha, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She fell down at his feet and poured it out before him. Now, dear friends, we read that when Jesus saw her weeping, and others who were with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus wept. And they, perceiving Jesus weeping, said, oh, behold how he loved him. Well, he did love him. And Jesus is a fulfiller of that word. Weep with those that weep. Mourn with those that mourn. Dear friends, his heart was touched with his compassion at the sorrow that this death had brought upon this family of Mary and Martha. And he's compassionate, dear friends, to all your circumstances when your heart is grieved and you're cast down and troubled. But what was the depth, the real reason? I won't say the real reason, though the reason was his compassion, yes. But how he grieved over unbelief in the hearts of these who were in such trouble. Mary, oh, she couldn't believe that her brother would rise again. Those around her could only believe in what they saw naturally. That, oh, why could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, why could he not have caused even this man not to have died? Questions, reasonings of unbelief, not of faith. And Jesus was grieved in the spirit. But dear friends, that didn't hinder him in his compassions, did it? That didn't hinder him in his love and mercy to this dear one, Mary, to whom he called to him. No, he says, where have ye laid him? And they came and told him, and he came and said, remove the stone. Take away the stone. And poor Martha, oh, again, in that measure of unbelief, you can't do that. he's dead, 4 days he'll stink. Yes. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Oh, dear friends, what a trial of their faith here for Mary and Martha. But the Lord knows their frame. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Oh, we have no strength and extent of faith to that that within us, do we? We've given over to our limiting reasoning power and our own intellect. Jesus said, say us not unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And so he spake, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And there was the restoring, as he said, that would take place of Mary's brother, Martha's brother. Oh, dear friends, Mary coming unto Jesus was not in vain, was it? Even though she could not perceive what was before her. She just received of his mercy, of his love, of his power, the restorer of their need. Dear friends, what effect this had on Mary. The Master is come and calleth for thee. She was made willing. It was in the day of his power. We read in the next chapter about they made a feast for Jesus at Lazarus' house. Lazarus sat at the table and Martha served. Oh, there was no complaining now with Martha. Oh, there was no complaining that her sister was not helping her. No, and where was Mary? She was again at Jesus' feet, washing his feet with her hair, anointing them with that ointment. Dear friends, what had she been shown? She'd been shown she needed that power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, he'd spoken it to Martha, but surely she knew of what he'd said to her sister. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Mary knew that she would die. Everyone has to die. And her desire was that in and through her death she would live forever. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. Thy brother shall rise again. Dear friends, through this power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which she experienced, oh, she saw the evidence of eternal life from the dead. It was a witness, wasn't it, of the power of that was to be brought to pass through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. That means if he was to be the resurrection, dear friends, he was to die. And Mary was taught that her hope of eternal life was through the death and the resurrection of this Jesus, whom loved her and he loved her and she loved him. And so at that feast, oh, she were constrained, oh, to acknowledge his death upon which he would depend. She anointed him as if for his burial, as he said later, desiring that her sins would be laid upon him. He would bear them away, and he would be her resurrection, and he would be her life. Oh, dear friend, what a blessing. What a sweet assurance. the Master is come and calleth for thee to reveal himself in you to the saving of your soul and the gift of eternal life. Where you come to say, yes, the Lord is my Redeemer, he's my Saviour, he's my resurrection, a hope of eternal life. Oh, that power of his resurrection that Paul desired, didn't he? That I might know the power of his resurrection. Through his sufferings, which has paid the price for sin, then to destroy its power by rising again that third day. And because I live, he says, ye shall live also. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, dear friends, may you have the power of his word in you, constraining you. It's compelling you. Dear friends, the Lord will make you willing in the day of his power. You cannot hold back. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, dear friends, it might be the Master calls you for a particular purpose. Oh, he did. We read this morning, wasn't it, of Levi. Levi was sitting at the seat of custom. He was going about his daily business. Jesus says, come and follow me. Oh, the power of that word. Come, follow me. And the power caused Levi, who is now also Matthew, to leave his place of business and follow after Jesus. Well, dear friends, all the Lord's people are called to follow him. Follow me. Believe on me. Trust in me. Obey my voice. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Follow me. Oh, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, dear friends, how we need this day, don't we? The evidence of that calling into the hearts of many sinners. Some of you have perhaps known the sweetness of the word, and perhaps you've read the Gospels and always been made precious to you. But perhaps you're still sitting on your knees. Perhaps you're waiting for the blessing. Notice, dear friends, Mary had to go to receive the blessing. The Master is come and calleth for thee. She had to come to Jesus' feet. Oh, we don't sit back just to wait. No, the instruction is come. Follow me. It may be a particular way the Lord would have you go in this world, for the honour and glory of his name. We think of the disciples, Peter and James and Andrew and John. Jesus saw them mending their nets. He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Or they would be used for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would use them, as he did when he rose again from the dead and appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. You see, the command had already gone. The promise was there. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But the time, the fullness of time, was later on, when he said to Peter, follow me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Oh, dear friends, Peter thought about it, didn't he? He looked to John and said, well, what shall this man do? Never mind what this is with others. Follow thou me. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, dear friends, these times do come, and we pray they will come. We will do pray the Lord sends out labourers into his harvest. It may be a minister of the gospel. It may be something other aspect in the Christian work which the Lord may call you unto, whether male or female. Maybe some of you have got an exercise regarding something at the moment, I don't know. But the Lord knows. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Dear friends, it won't be a disappointment. It'll be the promise of his help. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will provide all your need. Fear not, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It doesn't mean to say it'll be an easy path. Did Christ our Lord suffer? Shall we repine? Oh, he met much opposition. He had many temptations of Satan. He had much set against him in the way, as the apostles did, as Paul did. But dear friends, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient for them. Paul had to learn much in that way in which the Lord had called him into, didn't he? You know, Paul knew what it was to be called unto repentance. He was a sinner. But Christ came not to call the righteous as Paul thought he was. He delivered him from that his own righteousness became but dung to him. I am come to call sinners to repentance. And oh, that work in Paul. Well, Saul of Tarsus, who became known as Paul, as he went about unto the Gentiles. He said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I've known how to abound, I know how to be abased. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, the Lord never left him or forsook him, did he? He came to a time towards the end of his life, when he had to stand before Nero, he said, all men have forsaken, everyone has forsaken me. But the Lord stood by me and delivered me from the mouth of the lions. What a faithful God. This is the one who's speaking here, the same Lord to Mary. The Master is come and calleth for thee. If there's only one who calls in such a way as that, that's Christ the same yesterday, today and forever, the Saviour of sinners, who says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Dear friends, there'll be one last time we shall hear the Master's voice. That is when we come to the end of our days, take our last breath. The Master is come, calleth for thee, to be called up higher into that eternal kingdom to which we have been promised, to which we have been given that good hope through his grace of eternal life. Oh, dear friends, he will bring you to that day. And there, dear friends, it won't be a departing. There may be much pain physically. There may be much distress. We don't know what our last days will be. But do consider your latter end. Once in Christ, in him forever. Does the eternal covenant stands? He that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it unto that day of Jesus Christ. And then there'll be another come, won't there? Come, thou blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, what an end, what a prospect. But dear friends, there's a beginning. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Oh, do not turn away. We shall die. That second death, that solemn death. But oh, do obey his voice. All his will esteem. Love him more and more, for he loves you. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Amen.